Hey, y'all. Today's episode is sponsored by Podcorn.
Hey, Podcorn is a wonderful marketplace that gives us the freedom to choose who we partner with, when we partner with them, and how often we partner with them. We never give up any rights to our podcast. We get to actually choose who we want to partner with as far as sponsorships go. I think there's probably a better way to explain this. Emmy, how would you describe Podcorn?
So it's kind of like Podcorn is making us into Nick Fury. Oh. And we get to pick who we want to be in the Avengers. So like we want people like Star-Lord and Black Widow and Captain America. And we're probably going to say no to Flip-Flop Man and Hawkeye and the guy whose only power is unmuting people in Zooms at random intervals and creating TV static.
I think Podcorn just gives us the freedom to choose who we want to work with and who we don't. And that is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Start browsing sponsorship opportunities today. Huge thanks to Podcorn for sponsoring this episode. Explore sponsorship opportunities and start monetizing your podcast by signing up podcorn.com/podcasters. The link is in our description. Welcome to the MCU in Review Podcast. We review the MCU old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at MCU in Review. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, MCU in Review. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are available. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It goes a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the podcast, and we greatly appreciate that support. I'm one of your hosts, Brandon, and I'm joined by my two hosts. Emmy, how are you doing?
I'm feeling so raven.
Clinton, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Brandon. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good as well. Hey, everyone, spoilers and speculation ahead for Falcon and the Winter Soldier Episode 2. If you're here, you know.
Your family.
We're not sponsored by those guys. What if Olive Garden was like, hey, I listen to your podcast. You want some breadsticks and a sponsorship? Like that would be, heck yeah.
Yes.
If you're here, you know what you're about to get. Speculation, spoilers ahead for episode 2 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So if you have not watched episode 2, hey, some people have even told us they watch us, or listen to us, I should say, before they watch the Falcon and Winter Soldier. So thank you for being here. Appreciate it. But spoiler alert ahead. Emmy, before we went live on the air, you also said that you needed to retcon a couple things before we started going. So I'm curious, Emmy, what do you have on your list of retcons?
All right. I'm surprised that nobody reached out to me and to tell me that I was wrong, because I mentioned it multiple times in the last episode that Batroc is the bat from Anastasia. Guys, as soon as we stopped recording, I was like, it is not Batroc, it's Bartok. How dare I?
I really and believed you because I've never seen Anastasia. I was like, okay, whatever. Let's go with it.
Please stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, so it is Bartok. Bartok is the bat from Anastasia. Batroc is a UFC fighter.
I know a lot of people. Well, Batroc is a UFC fighter?
No. I don't remember his
George
name.
George St. Pierre.
Okay, he has three of them, so that's really hard to remember.
Yeah, three names is like too many.
Gotcha. Bartok also has a movie by himself, Bartok the Magnificent, where he is, because of course I watched this movie after referencing Bartok multiple times.
And you actually really sat and watched this movie.
Uh-huh. Bartok. I want to make sure I'm not getting it wrong. Bartok the Magnificent. And in that movie is Baba Yaga, who is referenced in Ant-Man.
It's so funny. Oh, I remember like Baba Yaga. Gypsies. The gypsies. Wow. You tied it back to the MCU. Well done.
perfect circle. It was amazing.
Well done. Well, speaking of which, Emmy, I'm going to throw it to you one more time. Hey, we gotta hear it. What's our Rotten Tomatoes scores looking like? I'm assuming you want Clinton and I to guess before you tell us.
Okay, you're going to do that. And then I have another thing that I need to retcon.
Oh, there's another. Go.
On behalf of all of us.
How about this? Let's go with the retcon first and then Rotten Tomatoes and we'll dive into the show.
Okay. In the last episode, we called Bucky an alcoholic, right? Because we said his tolerance was way up and he was going shot for shot. Mm-hmm. Or he was taking a lot of shots.
Oh, they don't get drunk, do they?
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
He has the superhero serum.
Oh, I thought of that, guys.
Ain't there a scene in one of the old movies where
Captain America
says, "I can't get drunk" or something like that?
Mm-hmm, he did. Yep.
Yep. Wow.
It was in the first Avenger when they're sitting there.
Yep.
Yeah, before they went and invaded more Hydra facilities and took out Red Skull.
But he's got a metal arm, so he can get drunk.
Yeah.
That changes.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
Yeah. Yes.
That does. No. No. That's not scientifically accurate.
metal arm means sober.
Okay. Anyway, so what do you guys think? Rotten Tomatoes. What happened?
I think it went up.
I'm going to say it went up because I enjoyed this episode more than the first one. So I'm going to say it went up as well.
At least with the audience.
I hate Emmy's face because she's about to tell us it went down.
And she loves this. She loves the rain on our
parade. I love it.
Yeah, it went down.
I love it.
It went down.
Statistical.
Yep. You guys are both wrong.
It went down.
It went down.
Son of a gun.
1 point to 94% for the critics and 1 point for 77% for the audience.
Even the audience went down. This was a better episode, in my opinion.
But do we still think, though, that it's based on the week before, like we did in WandaVision?
That's a good point.
They had a percentage before the first.
I know, but they had early screeners. They let reviewers screen it early.
That's a very
good
point.
For reviews. Yeah.
That's a very good
okay.
point.
Okay. Then maybe.
All right. So, hey, you know, I'm going to say this right now. I've enjoyed both episodes so far. Don't get me wrong, but I have enjoyed this one more than I enjoyed the first one. Just quick thoughts before we jump into our deep dive, guys. What was your thoughts on episode two to compare to episode one? Because I know you both were a little iffy on it. Amy, I'm going to throw it to you first.
I liked it a lot better, for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
This one I was more invested in. I didn't fall asleep in the middle of it. I also didn't stay up till 3 a.m. to watch it. But I was more invested in this one, and I did really enjoy it. There were a couple of jokes that I thought landed really well. And the ending, again, was very, very...
cliffhanger-ish.
Intriguing.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Good stuff. Clinton, what was your thoughts? Because I know you were pretty critical of the first episode. Second episode, any better for you? A lot better, a little better. Where's your mind at?
A lot better. A lot better. I was invested a lot more. And yeah, my complaint on the first one was, I guess, action that we just got at the beginning. I don't know what. It was just a very slow episode, the first mm-hmm. one. So this one really, I think the magic for me was they came together in this one, and we're getting that camaraderie and their dynamic and chemistry again. And that always sucks me in because I love their humor with each other. I love how they play off one another and stuff. So we got them back together in this. So the story picked up more too. So we got a little dynamic from every angle. We got to see more of Captain Not America.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Captain Not America. And it's funny because I completely agree with you, Clinton. I really thought just seeing Falcon and Winter Soldier on screen together, the chemistry those two have, I think we saw it early in Civil War as well. I thought it just lifted this whole show up.
And Bucky in this episode is my spirit animal.
Oh, I can see that. I can so see that, man.
I mean, everything about Bucky in this episode, he stood out to me a lot in this episode.
Yeah, and it's so funny because before we recorded episode one, or actually after we recorded episode one, that's when my fiance watched episode one, and I really enjoy kind of watching her reaction. I know that sounds kind of weird, but like I like seeing someone that, you know, what did they think of the show? Especially someone who's not such a diehard like I am. And she loved episode one. Bucky was a big reason why, was the mental health aspect and like the therapy. She goes, "Brandon, this is absolutely amazing." She really loved it. And she has not seen episode two as of yet. She usually watches them on Saturday, which is why we're recording right now. So I'll get her thoughts later. But I think she's really going to like this one as well.
But Marvel, I mean, they have a flavor for everybody. I have a guy at work who mm-hmm. loved episode one more than he loved any of WandaVision.
Wow.
And it shocked.
But it's different tone.
It is.
Some people don't like the tone of how WandaVision went all everywhere that they haven't explored. Some people want that familiarity.
Some people don't have Winter Soldier in their top 10. Some people do. Some people don't. It's okay.
Some people love Iron Man 2 and could watch it every day 700 times for the rest of their life.
No, that's one person. That's you, Emmy.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to keep going, guys. Sorry, what you got, man?
I think I need to put money into the Iron Man 2 jar. Didn't you guys say that we need to?
Every time you say Iron Man 2,
throw it in. I am happy. One of our predictions were right about this episode. And I guess we can start it from there, Brandon. The reason they come together, the reason Bucky comes to Sam is because he was pissed that he gave him the shield.
Yeah, no.
To the government.
I thought that was really interesting. And I thought it was, you know, and they both were kind of right here. That's what I love about Marvel is when they're two opposing viewpoints. Like, you know, hey, Falcon feels like in his heart he did what was right. He never thought it was going to go to another individual. And I understand it's the government. I get that completely. However, Falcon in his heart, this is the right move. I can't live up to this mantle. I'm handing it over to, you know, and I know the government has been less than stellar in the MCU, in the universe. However, I think he was just more of a, you know, I want to do my own thing. And this is what I feel is the right thing to do.
Maybe from his perspective, maybe not from what Cap wanted, because Cap was pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and it wasn't even the government thing to me that is the hang up for me. It's he thought it was going to go sit in a museum dedicated to Cap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Cap didn't hand him the shield and tell him to go put it up in a museum. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he handed that as a mantle, a symbol to take on, to become. I mean, I don't know why he got the misdirect to. I think it mostly comes from his feeling like he can't fit those shoes more than anything. Like, he don't think he can live up to it.
And I think that's where we're ultimately going to see this 6-episode arc is how he feels like he can't. And then, I'm assuming he's going to, and he's going to feel confident in that. Because we've even seen trailer footage, spoiler alert if you have not watched the trailers, but there's footage of him throwing the shield at the end. So obviously he gets the shield somehow. Or maybe it's a prequel where he was throwing it around, didn't feel comfortable, and he gave it up. I don't know. But I'm assuming we see him end with the shield. What's your thoughts, Amy?
Did you guys see the leak, the toy company leak?
Yes. No, I did not. What okay. was that?
I don't want to share it because Brandon, it's something that you would have been able to keep yourself from clicking on, and I was too weak. I could not stop myself from clicking on it.
Never mind. Then we will save that because I don't know.
If you want to know what I'm talking about, look up toy company leak. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I'm sure it will come up.
Okay. I will say this, though. You know, what I really loved about that is that what brought them together, yes, we did call that, but I think it was pretty obvious, too. I'm not going to pat ourselves too much on the back here.
I am. Being the humble man I am, that's what I do.
Clinton Humble Jump
it's,
here.
It's called right. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They were going to end up together. Is that but
what
we're...
What, no, what no, brought no. them
what
together?
Brought them together?
What
brought Why them? Would they come together?
Yes.
The shield.
Exactly. That's what we said.
What else would it be? Oh, well, okay. I will give you guys P-knuckle. Credit because I said love.
You did. But I do want to go over how this episode started, too, that I really appreciated how it started. I really didn't think we'd see too much of John Walker at all, at least his perspective, at least this much this early on. I was very impressed with how he's walking through this old locker room and he, you know, JW-10, he pushes a locker aside. You see that he's a veteran. You see that he's in the line of duty. You see all these people that care and love for him that are like, people are going to love you. And he doesn't seem at this point in the episode. There are a couple times that red flags get thrown around, at least in my opinion. But
or flags get smashed.
Gotcha. But I really feel like John seemed just like a good guy. And, you know, he's getting ready. You see his one of his good friends. You see his, I'm assuming, his partner. Unless he's really close with his stepsister. Hey, just kidding. So we see that they're really, he's got a good support system around. And good morning, I'm John, Captain, you know, he kind of butchers it a little bit. You can tell he's nervous. He's not full of himself. He's not this arrogant guy who's going into it. Kind of humanize this guy a little bit. And, yeah, you know. And then we see him come out. Comes out to a marching band song, which was playing during the Marvel Studios.
At his high school.
At his high school, which Emmy, you and I, we were in marching band together. That's the moment I met Emmy. And it kind of brought us back a little bit here.
But not that kind of marching band. That was a cool marching band. We were in a
dweeby. We were not a cool marching band. That almost reminded me of Brainerd's marching band, how great they were. We see Hoskins try to lift him up. We see his partner try to lift him up. And then, you know, we see this interview on Good Morning America where they talk about the eagles flying over and the flag waving every time he walks by. And he said, you know, pretty quickly that, you know, I'm kind of shocked. You know, that, you know, I hope I can live up. And like, what? You're the first person in American history to receive 3 medals of honor. You ran counterterrorism and hostage rescues. Your speed, your endurance, your intelligence was off the charts in all categories in a study by MIT. And his quote here is, "I'm not Tony Stark. I'm not Dr. Banner. I don't have flashy gadgets or super strength. I have guts. Something Steve had. Something I'll need. I like what I'm doing. I like that it makes people safe. Though I never met Steve, he feels like a brother." And this is a really, I think, honestly, it was not the worst intro for him. It kind of
No. It was a very clever way to give you a quick way to show why they chose him. His back. It was like a quick backstory on him.
And I didn't hate the guy after this. You know, there's a couple times in the show where I'm like, not this part though. I was really digging this part.
But that's what pissed Bucky off when he said he was like a brother.
Oh yeah, Bucky was watching
when
on.
Bucky was Yeah. But anyway, what do you got, Emmy, on this whole scene?
Okay, from the moment I saw him, some people just have faces that need to be punched.
I could see your facial expression this entire time. People do not have the fortunate ability to see Emmy's facial expression. I knew she was going to say that. Sorry, keep going, Emmy. I didn't mean that.
I have encountered a few in my life. And one of my friends is, I don't know, like quadlingual. Ben, friend of the pod. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
And he informed me whenever I was talking about someone else that I was calling punch face, informed me that in German, there's a word for it.
Oh.
And that word, let me teach it to you now because it's really fun to say, is Backpfeifengesicht.
Backpfeifengesicht?
Backpfeifengesicht. And it literally translates to face in need of a fist. And if that's not the greatest thing that you've heard all day, I don't know what is, because if Captain America's face is not in need of a fist, you are wrong. Backpfeifengesicht.
I feel like I'm falling into the same damn trap I fell into with Director Dick in WandaVision. I was like, I can't see him. I mean, yes, I do think there's a couple of red flags, but I mean, he's not that bad of a guy yet. I did the same thing with Director Dick. Obviously, I was wrong there. And I'm watching John Walker, U.S. agent, Captain America, whatever we want to call him, new Captain America. And I'm like, at least at this scene, I was like, okay, all right. Like, I don't know why. I was just immediately like, this guy's not a bad guy. Like, I'm too trusting, guys. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. Clinton, what was your thoughts?
There's, I like I said, I like the way they showed his backstory, and the writers, the way they can make you do what it's doing to Brandon. Like, oh, this guy ain't bad, because the comic heads are going to be like, we know who this guy is. But then they come in instantly and they're like, no, he's good in our version, or he has good intentions in our version. So I think they did that on purpose to make people believe that, obviously.
Well, then they should have gotten someone with a less punchable face.
What Clinton's trying to say is I'm easily manipulated. For people like Brandon, the simple-minded folk. No,
I don't mean that. It's good writing that they did this, because they want you to be interested, because people immediately are like, I hate this guy, like Emmy. Like, I want to punch his face.
Episode 1 I was, but then episode 2 at the beginning, I was like, I'm coming around a little bit.
Well, it looked a little silly.
It did.
But they're using the U.S. agent. They're doing a derivative of U.S. agent's outfit version of Cap, because in the comics, he actually does don the legit Captain America suit for a bit, and then becomes, I can't remember if he is U.S. agent after or before, but he starts as a super patriot. and then becomes Captain America. But he also, his little friend, Battlestar.
Lamar that Hoskins, I believe is his name.
Lamar Hoskins, yeah. So he, there's a whole thing about them and how they came together in the comics, but there was three guys, and the other guys, one guy was named Left Winger and one guy was named Right Winger, and then there was Battlestar. But Battlestar became his version of Bucky in the comics, and the abbreviation they used, I can't remember it, but it was BUC that stood for something, and they call them their Buckies.
It was for the whatever part of the army they were in, like their troop.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was very political when this was written, with everything going on with the wars and stuff. But anyway, Lamar Hoskins, Battlestar, is basically, and even in this episode, he wears the same colors as Bucky when he shows up to fight with Cap and or Falcon and Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. If you notice under his vest, he's got the colors Bucky has on too, mm-hmm. just like the comics, because he is the Bucky to US agent.
Yeah.
Backfiring.
But there's a lot here, but they're already setting up a lot for this show. And they're bringing this episode alone was like soaked in characters from the Captain America issues of mm-hmm. comics.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not mm-hmm. just here, but I mean, we'll get there, but they did a lot, and I love the way they executed it. To your point about him in the interview and stuff, it's finding a way. That public thing too is almost, it's mimicking the First Avenger, the Captain America First Avenger, where he did his propaganda tours, like where he went on stage and
right, yeah, Star Spangled Banner with a plan.
Yep, the song.
And the same song was playing with the March Man. Sorry, yes.
A different derivative of it, yeah, but...
Correct.
Yeah, which was cool. I liked the updated version.
I did too.
But the person even mentions, like, you've been on tour. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's doing the same tour. Not the same tour, but a
just
tour.
Like Cap did.
Exactly. Yeah. It was more of a face instead of an actual...
A symbol,
yeah, like they said. And that's what they kind of said he was. He was a symbol. Like, you know, this new guy was. I like the kind of the parallels between John Walker and Steve Rogers. I thought it was interesting. Very interesting.
This is a Cap fanboy's dream, Brandon.
I know, really.
Star Spangled Man with a Plan. That's the name of the episode, and I like it.
When I saw the name of the episode, immediately, like, I cannot see those words without singing the entire song in my head. And it's been stuck there for a while now.
Oh, it's a good song. It's a good song.
It's I mean, the whole Marvel universe has a lot of bops. I mean, we've got Agatha All Along.
That's the biggest bop. That one's hard to beat. Oof.
I was listening. I know I've said it before. I listened to Sibling Rivalry, which is Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange's podcast. And Bob had waited until all of the episodes were out to watch it. So he like watched all of them in last week's podcast, before last week's podcast. And so he kept bringing it up in the episode. And Monet was like, we have already been there. We've already heard it. Like, we're all
we've
over
explored
it.
This.
You keep bringing it
up. It's been 2 weeks now. Let it go.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Does Hoskins.
He says,
sorry.
He's not Hoskin dolls.
Foreskin dolls. Yep.
Well, no. Okay.
Baskin Hoskins.
Baskin foreskins.
What?
Five skins.
All right.
They say, or he says, the special ops mission in Chile. Does that mean anything to comic book readers?
That didn't
mean maybe it. He just likes chili.
Oh yeah,
with crackers. Okay. And
oh, I don't want to sing because I know it'll offend a couple of people, but baby back ribs, that's all I'm gonna say. So chilies. I'm sorry. Okay, anyway, my shit joke is out of the way.
I think it's just referencing they've been on missions together.
Okay,
they've been
so, like,
working together.
To me, I agree with Clinton. It was more of a backstory, kind of to build this relationship and this arc, you know, between these two characters as well.
I also have another question for you guys.
Mm.
Okay. You guys become superheroes. What's the first place that you're going to go to like announce yourself? Because if it's your high school, you are a square.
You might be a square.
Well, it's funny too. I think in the comics, this is his high school and
it's his hometown. It's his
hometown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Custer's Grove. Yeah.
Custer's Grove, and you go to a school called Custer's Grove. What the hell? You
know, I would only go to my high school to tell a couple teachers to kiss my ass. I'm not going to say their names here, but I want to.
Oh, man. Just because it's the home of Comic-Con, I would so go to San Diego. I would go to San Diego in a heartbeat. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And just kind of like the Loki entrance when he does like the panel H at, or excuse me, Hall H at at the Comic-Con. I would love to do the exact same thing. So I'm going to say San Diego would be mine.
I would go to my job and tell them I quit in the fullest way possible.
With the press conference. With the press conference. Yeah.
Depends on what my power would be. Yeah. I mean, if it was invisibility, I'd just show up and scare people, be behind them the whole time.
Good to know you'd use your powers.
He would show up behind
you.
He would show up behind his coworkers and he'd be like, smag, and they'd be like, what the hell? And a smag flasher came back again. You know, it would just be
awesome. Or like they'd walk by and I'd just stick out my invisible legs so they'd trip over it.
You're such an ass. You're such an ass.
And then it looks like they just tripped over the air.
Oh man.
And the customers would laugh at them.
You are a jerk, sir. But we move on to where we see that Sam.
Sorry. Before we move on. Okay.
God, Emmy.
So he makes the comment, I'm not Tony Stark, but I had very Tony Stark vibes with the dancers in the background and the band and it was very.
But it didn't feel like him. It felt like it was other things that was around him.
Okay. But like that whole celebration was very Iron Man 2.
Confirmed by Emmy on this podcast.
75 cents.
Oh, John Walker gosh. Is just no, as a cute dollar.
As Tony Stark.
Absolutely. No, because when he said, I'm not Tony Stark, I was like, yeah, bitch, you're not.
She snapped her fingers too. Like, like immediately.
But the whole dancers thing, that whole celebration felt very, it fit almost Tony's ego, but obviously Tony's he didn't ego want to is much do bigger.
It. Like, he was nervous about it.
Yeah. I agree.
Tony was not. Tony was like, bring on the show.
And he's like flinging his arms out in the air. And he's like got all these dancers around him. And he's just like, you know, and he's got a tux underneath everything. Like, no, this felt like it was everything around John Walker determining what was going on. Not John Walker himself. The Stark Expo is called the Stark Expo because it's his. This was not. This was a Good Morning America appearance, obviously orchestrated by the government. I'm not sticking up for John Walker, but I feel like it's two different. Yes, it's a big ordeal, but I don't think John Walker's behind this. Tony Stark was behind his grand entrance, not another way. At least right now, that's how I feel.
He played into it, though, with the whole Good Morning America. And well, like he was given winks and signing things. You're saying he didn't enjoy that?
They want him to. Remember, in the locker room, he's practicing his lines.
Yeah.
Good morning. And then he name drops Avengers like he knows him. That's what pissed the Avengers off. That's what pissed them off is that this guy's out here talking like.
Well, he said Cap feels like a brother.
Yeah, like
so
what?
That's a jab at Bucky.
Yeah, that is a jab at Bucky. And then later he wants his wingman, which pissed Sam off. You know what I mean? Like he just sees himself above people, it seems like. So I think you're kind of onto something there.
Well, and he says Cap is back. Like, that's a jab at both of them. Because your friend is not back from the dead. It does. They had that little montage where he's throwing the shield around. Like, it does kind of seem like he might have super strength.
Yeah, a lot of people think he might already have it and he's not telling people.
Yeah, well, they said that study by MIT where he had, endurance, strength, he was smart.
But naturally.
Intelligence. Yeah, well, they never said it. They just basically said, we did an MIT study, and you were off the charts on these three levels. So they never hinted one way or the other, to be honest with you.
Which you could take either way, saying that's why they made him Captain America, is because he naturally has this. Or they're hinting like they were testing him, and he was a perfect candidate for the soldier serum, is why they chose him. So it could go either way, but as douchey as he's going to turn out to be, it may be he already has it and he's lying about it, because the power broker is going to be a huge arc. And I'm curious, we'll get there, but the power broker is a big comic influence. And I think he's dealing with the power broker and not telling people.
Ooh.
Like Mephisto was a big.
Yes. The power broker is the Mephisto of this one.
Or John Walker's Mephisto. Confirmed. Can we confirm that John Walker is Mephisto now? I'm pretty sure we know that.
Some people think the power broker is I can't remember his name.
Mephisto.
Just Hammer.
No, who came back
in... from Iron Man 2.
Stop, Emmy. It's four times. You owe us $4. It's a dollar every time.
What's his name from who uploaded his consciousness into a computer?
Oh, what was his name?
I want to say MODOK, but that's not right.
It's not MODOK. It's
the one we got. I got confused with MODOK, I think.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh,
he's Dr. I'll Google
Dr.
it.
Dr. Zolt.
Zoloff. I think we're thinking of the drug.
Yeah, that's medicine.
Yeah, Zola. It's Arnim Zola. That's it. Sorry.
But some people think that could be it. The Power Broker in the comics, though, is a whole separate character. And we need to continue, but we'll get there.
Yeah, and so we're going to skip ahead because I know we already talked about the what brought Sam and Falcon together was the shield. So we saw them come together.
Did you notice the new Captain America action figure that he signed?
Yes, I did.
Like they have a new figurine.
Already, yes.
And also when he's talking about like, oh, the Eagles fly over me and flags start waving. Mm-hmm. When they first announced that they were doing Captain America, that is what I was picturing. 100%.
Yeah, that was a funny line because I think that's what, you know, freedom and America. And
it's kind of like Loki's impression of Captain America in the Dark World, where he's like,
yes.
Yeah, that's what I felt like it was playing on a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
No worries. We see Sam and we see Falcon reunite. We're going to go quickly over this because we already touched base on it, but it's going to be a part of the big three. We know this. What's the big three? That is androids, aliens, and wizards. And that's not a thing. It's definitely a thing. No, it's not. And who are you fighting now? Gandalf? How do you know about Gandalf? Well, I read The Hobbit when it came out in 1937. I thought this was awesome. Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit confirmed in the MCU.
We know the MCU.
So we can review.
Not Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit.
Well, no, The Hobbit is part of the Lord of the Rings. It's a prequel to Lord of the Rings. It's a prequel. No,
hold on. It's not a prequel. Lord of the Rings came out after.
Touche. You're right.
Hobbit started it.
But The Hobbit started it, so that means The Lord of the Rings is the sequel to The Hobbit.
Fair.
Okay.
But 1937, right?
Yes.
No, 1938.
Was it 37 or 38? I thought it was 37. Emmy, was it?
No, it came out in 37, but...
Okay.
It didn't come to America. So he says 37. Mm-hmm. He was around for it. It didn't come to the U.S. till 1938, which means that he had to have had it imported from the U.K. or he was in the U.K. when it came out. Read the original books. He did not read Lord of the Rings because when Lord of the Rings came out in the 1950s, he was already a Hydra agent. So everyone knows.
There were only 1,500 copies in 1937.
Wow. He got a limited edition as well.
I mean, it was harder to make books back then.
So, yeah, 1,500.
Who are the wizards he's talking about they fought? The threats are androids, aliens, and wizards. Are they seeing Loki as a wizard?
I thought they were just kind of making a hint towards Doctor Strange. And like his
No, he makes that joke to like say there's no wizards, but they're saying the big three, like the threats. And android would be Ultron. Mm-hmm. Alien would be Loki. That's who they fought in.
Well, Chitauri as well. And
and Thanos. That's the two they fought. Who's the
wizard?
Who are they seeing as a wizard besides Doctor Strange?
Exactly. They say these are the three threats or the three things that it could be.
Scarlet Witch.
She was never... She with Ultron at the beginning.
Yep.
And this is after. Yeah. Fair. Okay. That might be it.
Good stuff.
Because a female wizard is a witch.
And she was wearing kind of a hat at the end.
It's a little crown, but I liked it. God, it looked awesome. God, that final costume. And so we see a sorcerer is just a wizard without a hat, talking about Doctor Strange. A lot of great stuff here. And so anything really which brings them together? Anything else before we move on from this
scene? You forgot to name a character that's in this scene, too.
Oh, okay. Well, Torres informs Torres informs Sam that there's like right at the beginning, they're talking and we see all these Cap posters as well. Captain America is back and blah, blah, blah. And that's when we see Torres. We don't see him as much as we did.
And it's sad. It's real sad for me. That was the downside of this episode. Mm-hmm. When we did get a lot of Bucky.
When the episode starts and there was the unzipping, I was really hoping it was, I thought it was Torres taking off his clothes.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was
really hoping for that.
I saw that and I immediately thought of Clinton. I was like, he's going to have a terrible joke about Torres here.
Well, I stayed away. It was me.
No, it was Emmy.
So if I whistle with Torres and Bucky is the white wolf, I'm going to go woof every time you say Bucky.
No,
you're gonna make this so that it's just a whole bunch of sound effects.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make a fart noise every time we see Beck Pfeiffer.
But mine fits.
No, we're gonna talk about Bucky so much, and you're gonna be like, woof, woof. It's gonna be like we're gonna have to put two different podcasts out. Hi, this is the edited version where you've chose not to hear Clinton go woof every single time.
If you want sound effects, go to our Patreon. I will do sound effects the whole time.
Oh, man.
Spoiler, guys. We don't have a Patreon.
Spoiler.
It's just me barking. It's just me barking the whole time. They're like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever subscribed to.
Spoiler. Maybe Patreon's coming out, though. Who knows? Keep an eye and ear out, guys. If you want more of us and more wolves and...
And maybe more of us not doing
Marvel stuff. We get some requests for a non-Marvel opinions. I think that would be a really cool topic for people to listen in.
And if your dream has been to hear Clinton bark and whistle, man, you're in for a treat.
Imagine paying a couple extra dollars to make it happen.
Starting a new sub podcast that's just called Wolf Woo Woo.
Well, they're like. They start listening. I'm like, they're like, did I get on Patreon or OnlyFans? I just hear whistling and barking.
Ow!
Anyway.
What you thinking, Amy?
This was the scene. This was the scene that I saw. And it had been long enough ago that I forgot what was coming. And so it was fantastic all over again. The posters all over were a bit much, I feel like.
Already, too. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, it looked like a little girl's teenage room. Like, they just like they were like, scotch taped on.
You've got to think, too, this is the world trying to reorganize itself after the. This is still fresh from the blip.
Fair good.
So they're trying to instill hope back into people. So they're trying to propaganda everywhere of new Cap. People need a symbol.
Touché.
People need hope to think it's going to be okay again. So they are full force into this.
Touche, sir. What were you thinking, Emmy?
I mean, I get that, but they should have picked a different face. One that was
Emmy,
better.
Let
to
it
look
go.
At.
Let it go.
I will never. I let will it go.
He looks. He looks a lot different in other stuff with a beard. He looks a lot different, and this is Kurt Russell's son.
Yes, it is.
I am so sorry, Kurt Russell.
Oh, God.
Kurt Russell and his mom is very famous, too.
Oh, what's her name? Goldie Hawn?
Goldie Hawn, yes. Yeah. Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son.
That's a guess.
Okay. But because I'm so bad with
names. Wait, is it Goldie Hawn?
Kurt Russell.
It's an educated guess, but I don't know for sure.
Kurt Russell is Star-Lord's dad, correct?
Ego, yes.
Oh, what a fine older man.
Wow.
Dang.
Wow.
That is a shame about his son.
Emmy, we're going to keep moving. what's your thoughts on this whole scene, though?
I thought it was great. I liked their banter. I have a couple of questions about how is Captain America, new Captain America, mm-hmm. Captain Punchface, how is he paid by the government? And Sam is only, I'm getting into contracts again and I should not.
Oh, no.
Goldie Hawn, you're right.
He's a free agent, but yet he was able to call Torres. Oh, woo-woo.
That was a letdown.
Sorry, I wasn't focusing.
He was able to call Torres and like the army got him a helicopter or whatever that was to go to the middle of Germany
because
or
he
wherever
was,
they were.
He was he does Air Force contracts.
This
he's a free
like
agent. He don't just work specifically. He's not like contracted in with the government. He does like think of like a contractor doing construction for a job. They hire them as needed.
Good point.
And also, I think that was they wanted to do that to keep an eye on him because we find out in this episode that they had tapped Red Wing. So they wanted to keep an eye on him because he was, you know, helping Cap in the past. So they're a little, probably still a little weary.
And kind of a callback to episode one. Every time you guys work on him, he gets a little he gets glitchy.
Yeah.
A little callback already to episode one there.
That's a good point. Good points. That's, and I tore episode one apart, but I had one of my main complaints was that they like talk too long about consolidating loans, but by God, I want to know every single in and out of everybody's contract and who's working for who and who's paying who.
And it comes back a little bit later as well. We'll definitely touch base on that, Emmy, because there is a point where Falcon kind of like, you know, why would we work with you? You know, we're free agents basically per se, and you work for the United States. You know, this would not serve a purpose for us. So great stuff there, Emmy. It does come back around later on in the episode.
I did have a question too. If we're talking about androids, aliens, and wizards, mm-hmm. which of those would be Bucky?
Androids, aliens, or wizards. I would say android, maybe more, because he was more mind controlled and a robot arm. So I gotta say, out of the three, there's not a good answer.
I guess
there's not, but android is the one he fits into the most, I guess, is what I would say.
And I guess too, as soon as I said that, okay, the big three.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that there's not others.
Very good point.
But the big three.
Exactly. Okay. That's a really good point. So we switch gears a little bit here and we see that, you know, they're in the plane here and what's our plan? Great. So no plan. It brought me back to the very first Avengers, like where Cap and Iron Man are talking. So what's the plan? Like, I have a plan. Attack. And, you know, Cap's getting his parachute on and everything. Enjoy your ride, Buck. And we see Bucky, you know, you can't call me that. Steve called me that and he had a plan. And he did. He even asked Tony what his plan was. So a really cool callback here to the very first Avengers. Bucky ends up revealing his arm, kind of tears off his sleeve, falls on his arm. And we see that I have that all on camera. You know that, right? Red Wing comes in. Get out of my face, Sam, or I'll break it. Okay, head north. And they move forward, they're spying, and they, you know, they're looking for an assassin. Falcon makes a Panther joke, and he goes, actually, it's the White Wolf. I thought that was a great callback to the comics here. Maybe not necessarily. I thought that was a really cool thing, and he goes, wait, what? Sam responds with waiting. Bucky sees two, and he's ready to fight. It's almost that assassin nature still coming out. Even though he's not mind-controlled anymore, you can still see Bucky is kind of like a, let's go in there and fight. And Falcon's, wait, let's see. And
calculated.
Very Falcon calculated.
Falcon is Brandon and me and Emmy are Bucky.
But they both compliment each other very well here, I thought. They lift up crates. You can see super strengths going on. I love when they start making noise and they're like, shit. Like, it was just so funny that I don't know why that made me laugh out loud. It reminded me almost of Guardians of the Galaxy, where they're being kind of loud and it's like, oh shit, be quiet. Anyway, so they see a hostage, or what they believe to see a hostage. I have notes here that says fun scene here. Just like their banter and how they're really working kind of not well with one another, but they are kind of like their yin and yang kind of complement each other really well. You know, to not go too far ahead, guys, but we're going to just jump right in. Bucky gets in the truck.
Wait. Can we do the fight scene like...
Yeah, separate? I was going to say, let's stop for... Can we stop for a second here?
Yep.
And is that okay?
Kind of talk about the build-up.
Yeah, because there's a lot I want to say between the airplane scene and them getting to...
Yeah, no,
there.
That's all good, guys. So what was your thoughts here, seeing them work together, fall, and have a plan, not have a plan? Mm-hmm. It was almost they were reluctant to work together. And this whole build-up before the fight scene takes place. Clinton, I'm going to throw it to you first, man.
First of all, you would think Bucky would be scared to jump out of planes since he fell from a train for hundreds of feet.
Train, not a plane, even though it rhymes.
I said a train.
Yeah, I know. Even though it rhymes, it's not the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he has no reserve about that. That's for sure.
Right.
And you would think when he hits the ground, his arm would pop off like a toy. I know I have a note phone and it's got the pin in it.
It reminds me of
and anytime toys. You drop the phone, the pin's going to pop out. You know what I'm saying? Like the that metal.
The stylus?
Yeah, the stylus. And you would think every time that he fell, it would pop off and he has to grab it again.
It's funny.
And if I was Bucky, I would pull that arm off and just bitch slap
it. You know? It reminds me of Buzz Lightyear when his arm pops off and like they have to slap him with his own hand at the tea party. So. Toy Story in MCU confirmed. It's funny because I remember my brother, My brother is 8 years older than me. And I remember I grew up with a lot of 80s action figures, like early 80s action figures. And then I had my own 90s action figures. But I remember one action figure did not have a leg on it. It popped off when it fell off, and he never told me about it. I really thought it was just he did not have a leg. It was He-Man. I never watched the cartoon. I was too old by the time the cartoon came out. It was not on TV. So my He-Man literally had one leg, and I thought that's just what He-Man was. He was a one-legged, ass-kicking action figure. And then, like, when I got older and I saw He-Man on a cartoon, I'm like, wait, he doesn't have one leg? So I felt like a dumbass. So anyway, fun story about He-Man.
I mean, if they really wanted to team up, they could pop Bucky's arm off and hook it to that wing pack, and they could kick some ass.
You're not going to let this go. You're just not going to let this go. You're just not going
to
move on.
They could just boost it and just punch people flying by. You need to
stop.
You
need to stop.
I think it's genius, but that's just me.
Emmy, what was your thoughts on that?
No, I'm not done.
Okay. So he made his joke.
I've got to point out something that stands out.
Point it out, sir.
That is very common. That I don't think anyone, it's not even important, but I'm going to say it. They do a lot of walking in this episode. There's three scenes where they're just walking in this episode alone. It reminds me of like Forrest
Gump.
That's
what you made me wait and say. They walk.
It's like they walked a lot, and I think they're just trying to build dialogue, but I'm like, this is Forrest Gump. Like they're just.
Or Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, where they do a lot of walking.
I was going to say, I'm bringing it back because I tried to read The Lord of the Rings and there's
Swear to God, if you say Iron Man 2, I'm going
to... We're done. There's one
part in the second book where they're walking through a field for like 5 pages and I was like, all right, screw this. I'm done. And I never finished them. So it's a callback to The Hobbit that Bucky read.
Nice. Yep. There it is. It all comes full circle.
Love when they get in the warehouse too, and their plan of action is different. I love the callback to the White Panther thing, and he's like, it's actually White Wolf, which is the second time it's been said.
Yep.
Because the kids in Wakanda call them White Wolf.
Correct.
But in the comics, White Wolf is a completely different character.
That's what I was going to say. It's a callback to the comics, but it kind of isn't because it was a different character. So it
the
is
the White Wolf in the comics is like he was adopted by T'Chaka. And then they had T'Challa, and he was next in line for the heir of the throne. And I forget his name, but the guy that was, I think he was adopted, but he was jealous of that, and he became the White Wolf and was like an enemy of Black Panther. Mm. But they're kind of changing that a little bit here, but I don't think they're going to make Bucky White Wolf by any means.
No,
but
I think it was
like a little cute wink to the
That's
comics.
Exactly what I was about to say. It felt more like a wink and a nod, and I like that, but without a full-fledged, I agree with you.
But their whole strategy is fantastic, and the humor when Bucky is trying to go look and Sam sneaks up on him. He's like, oh. And the way they do the look, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Where he just does like a double take, like he got there real fast and he was like, you still haven't done anything. Like, did you get what was the point of you getting here faster?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have to say, questions asked, questions answered. I have asked before, where is he shopping where he gets the one sleeve clothing?
Nowhere.
Got answered. He's paying full price. Full price. Two armed. Items.
And why does he do that? Is it more mobile, I guess?
I think he's trying to hide his identity. He doesn't want people to see who he really is.
But he's saying, why did he rip it off? Because to quote the Hulk, it is gratuitous. Like, you didn't have to do that, bro.
That's what I mean. Yeah, why did he rip it off?
Oh.
I mean, to go down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it'd be easier to see if it popped off when he hit.
Stop with the Toy Story Buzz Lightyear. No, you're done. Clinton, done. No more. No more. No more, sir. Emmy.
I wonder if it heats up.
No more, sir. Emmy, keep going.
I was going to go with a science fact about it being black, and so it absorbs the sun's heat instead of reflecting it. So it probably does.
Yeah, it probably gets real warm. Maybe he was cold. Maybe that's why he ripped it off when he jumped out of the plane.
Good God.
It was a black jacket, so that would have done the
same
thing.
It was a blue jacket.
Was it blue?
It was. Navy blue.
Very dark.
Dark navy blue, yeah.
What I liked about the whole White Panther thing is that they are poking fun at themselves. for putting whatever character's color on, in front of the name.
Well, like, there's a Black Panther.
Black Captain America. They literally called him that in the comics.
There's a reason, and I'll get there when we get to Isaiah Bradley. There was a reason for that.
They poke fun a little bit later, too.
It's not even poking fun. There was like a,
it was a
political reason to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to diving into that with you, Clinton.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So
Well, then I don't like it that much then, I guess. I don't know. I still like it.
All right. So
screw you. Wait. I have barely said anything about this scene.
Sorry. I want to say this because I'm reminded of it. In the comics, Falcon was the first Black Marvel comic character to not have black in front of his name.
Oh, good stuff, Glenn.
Good catch. Oh, yeah, that's good. Amy. Step in the right direction. Good job.
Amy, what about the scene?
Okay, so Bucky says he doesn't trust Red Wing. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I noticed, here we are falling again from great heights. So I guess having a vibranium arm, you can land on it and live.
Shout out to Black Widow and Gamora.
Yeah, landed in the same position.
So did Rambo.
Yeah. Oh.
In WandaVision. But he has super soldier serum. He don't just have the metal arm.
I know, but still.
He still chose to land on that arm, though.
Bones don't crush the same, apparently, in a super soldier serum body.
Drinking their milk or whatever. I liked their relationship. I really love their dynamic. I think it's really cute. I know people don't love Falcon. And every time I hear somebody say that, I don't get it because he's such a lovable character. Sam Wilson is so cute. Anthony Mackie, like when he does interviews, is just so lovable.
He's wonderful.
And I like Bucky a lot better with a haircut. Let me tell you what.
Because I like them both.
You
know, and I usually don't like the long hair, but
that seems like it was very pointed towards Brandon.
Are you talking about my long hair, sir?
Your rat tail.
It's not a rat tail. Good God. I will admit it's a nap. It's just a terrible mess, but I would not say it's a rat tail. No.
Okay.
And Clinton remains silent. That's all I need to know.
So I know I started. I know I started the "you might be a bad guy." I'm sorry. Sorry.
Sorry, listeners, for that. We instigated that one.
I said one of his trigger words.
You like lit the fuse and it's gone. Sorry.
He's like a jukebox. You put a dime in, you have to let the song play.
What kind of jukebox do you know that has a dime? Like, what? Are you from the 1930s as well? Like, a dime?
Isn't that the quote in Ant-Man?
You put a dime in the jukebox, it just goes. Like, yeah. Oh, maybe
you have to let the song play.
Good job. Okay. All right. I'll shut up.
Okay. Keeping it meta. I like it.
I like it. Yeah.
I'll allow it. I admit defeat. Edit anything.
I admit defeat. Keep going, Emmy.
So for this episode, something that I kept thinking and writing down was the audacity. The audacity of these people to be stealing vaccines. Right now, the audacity.
Yeah, the release time of this
was
my gosh.
A little on the nose, guys.
Listen, I think the Flag Smashers are very relatable.
I agree.
Empathetic villains.
God, I agree, dude.
And we don't have a clear villain in this, honestly.
Not yet. Not yet.
We'll get there. Let's get to the fight scene and we'll talk about the Smag Flashers.
Smag.
Is that all you have, Emmy?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And then we go to the
another amazing fight scene here, guys, where Bucky gets on, like, he gets in the truck. He thinks he sees a hostage. No, it's not. It's kind
and
of
he runs soups fast.
Yes. And he ends up getting kicked out of the truck. They lift him up and begin punching him. Red Wing comes in and the quote unquote hostage ends up grabbing Red Wing, splits him in half. And I love Bucky's response here. I always wanted to do that. Like, it's just really funny in the middle of this fight scene. Captain America Light shows up. It's like ranch. I mean, it's light flavored. But she
I like it. I like that name the best that any of y'all heard.
Captain America Light.
America Light.
Yeah, and so
spelled L-I-T-E.
That's what I did in my notes. I swear to God, in my notes, I put L-I-T-E. Shield, the shield's being thrown, but they even used the Captain America song, and they knew how to play on my, like, I was watching, I was like, oh, God, this is awesome. Why am I loving this? And I know I shouldn't, but they played the theme song, and the shield was being thrown, and it was like the A. Anyway, I'm not saying I'm right. I just was easily manipulated.
Brandon, will you agree with us now that Captain America, as of now, is a square?
You need to stop. Anyway, Captain America shows up, light. Sam, John Walker, Captain America, looks like you guys could use some help. Bucky gets taken out. He holds on the side of this truck. They proceed to kick him. That little girl kicked your ass, said Falcon. Falcon comes in, swoops in and saves Sam.
Swoops in.
It's pretty cool. They could, and he's like, we could have used that shield. And those were all super soldiers, Sam. And Walker throws the shield to Hoskins to save his fall. They give each other a thumbs up. It's kind of a cool moment between Walker and Hoskins here. I'm not doing the scene justice, but please watch the show. It's amazing. It's an amazing little scene here.
Spoiler warning.
Yeah, it's yeah, we gave that at the beginning. But really cool fight scene here. It was awesome. We saw kind of, we saw Hoskins come in. We saw John Walker's Captain America come in. We saw Falcon and Winter Soldier keep doing what they're doing. I thought this was a really cool, awesome little moment on top of two trucks. Your thoughts, guys? I'm going to throw it to Emmy first because we went with Clinton first last time. What was your thoughts, Emmy, on this whole thing?
For a while last time. Okay.
Excuse me.
Whoa.
The whole fight scene was very, very good. It was a really cool, visually stunning fight scene.
Right.
And I read an article. I retweeted it. So if you follow me on Twitter, which a couple of people have found me, they talked to the creators of the show, talked about how they were trying to make these dynamic fight scenes that built character. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to use weapons less to kind of like help tell that story, which I appreciate because my opinion, I'm not a fan of guns. But that is my opinion, and you can disagree with me. The person who used a gun, and because of the intention behind the creators, the person who used a gun in this scene was Captain America Light. And so I kind of like enjoyed that. Like, it kind of made me feel like, oh, well, he's being a bit lazy. Like, he's using a crutch.
Mm. Wow.
But
maybe when Captain America went to battle to save the...
He used guns.
Howling Commandos.
He used guns.
And yeah. In the first Avenger, in the Avengers, he used guns. When Tony was getting... He was trying to restart the propeller. He was using guns to take out someone.
But later, as he evolved, I guess he didn't really use guns, did he?
But he still used them at the very, very beginning. So
which is parallel.
Exactly. Oh, that was my whole point. It's very parallel, Clinton. Good catch there, man.
Well, and I guess too, the storytelling has kind of evolved a little bit that they're trying to get out of that. But anyway, okay, that was just something I noticed because of that article that I read. Here's another point when I said the audacity.
Oh, we're going to hear this a couple times. Maybe we need a jar for this one as well. The audacity. What do you got here?
The audacity of him to go and jump into a fight that he was not invited to. To introduce himself to Captain America's best friends
as Captain America.
Oof,
that's a good point.
The audacity. I would have been like, bye, get out. Like I as Falcon or Winter Soldier would have kicked his ass before the bad guys.
It's kind of a good point, though, where I didn't see this when I was watching the scene, Emmy, but I think you make an amazing point here where he could have said, hey, John Walker, and fought. Yeah. He said, Captain America, period. John Walker. It's like, okay. So, yeah, Emmy, I kind of, it's funny. In the moment, I was like, it's the theme song. He's throwing the shield. When you say that, really, stellar point. Like, I'm just saying, I agree with you. I really do. So, yeah, what else you got?
Honestly, the audacity of Marvel. To use Captain America's song for this idiot.
They're doing what they want to do. Like, you're upset about it.
And it worked for me because it was weird. I was like, oh, it's the guy, you know? Good stuff by Marvel and good stuff, Emmy. Great, great commentary there.
Okay. And then one other point. If you saw a whole bunch of people fighting on a couple of semi trucks in front of you, and here you are.
Would you be following that close behind? Yes. Oh my God, Emmy. Yes. That when he get thrown into that car, I'm like, why the hell are you that close?
Yes. I would have been like, I'm going to let them go for a minute.
Yes.
It is cool. I'm going to pop over to this Taco Bell. And,
preach.
After that happened, and it kind of like shows a close up of Captain America Light and the cars in the background. And the second time I watched it, I was like, wouldn't it have been amazing if Jimmy Woo got out of that car and was like, dude, look what you did to my car.
Oh, that would be amazing.
But anyway, I think that's about all I have on that. Oh, no, there is one other thing that I caught.
What?
And it wasn't me. It wasn't me doing the catching.
It wasn't me.
There was a point when Captain America Light throws the shield and Bucky catches it before giving it back to him.
I like
that. There's a split second that Bucky is holding that shield.
Good stuff.
With his normal arm.
Yes, it is. Too. Good stuff, okay. Clinton. Good catch, guys. Clinton, what was your thoughts on this entire amazing kind of little fight sequence? I think this was kind of parallel to the first scene in Falcon and Winter Soldier with Falcon flying through the air as in terms of action.
Yes, I'm a sucker for highway fight scenes. I can't help it. Mm-hmm. I love the highway fight scene in Civil War. I love the highway fight scene in The Matrix, in the second one. Highway fight scenes, it seems like they can just do some cool stuff with it. I don't know. But I love that it showed off the strength of the Flag Smashers and lets you know now that they do have this. They are super soldiers.
Correct.
Because that was... I don't know that it was really shown. I mean, assumed maybe, but I don't think we knew as an audience.
Not as of yet, no.
And the vaccines they're transporting, are they the vaccines or are they disguised as vaccines? Because what's his name?
Power Broker. Yeah.
He wants them. So I'm wondering, are they vaccines or... are they the serum? But
that's what I thought.
But at the same time, it would make sense that they're the vaccines too to help. This is kind of where I get on the side of Flag Smashers. They're almost like a Robin Hood esque character.
They even call them. They refer to her as Robin Hood later.
Yes, because she's stealing things because the government seems to only care about the people that were gone for 5 years and not the people that had to live through the craziness, and they're trying to help the people that aren't taken care of,
exactly,
the less fortunate. So it could also be vaccines that they're trying to get to. But my question is, why does Power Broke? Why does he want them? But we don't know. But yeah, I think it gave a lot of character.
I swear to God, if this Power Broker thing is Mephisto 2.0, I'm going to call you out so hard at the end of the.
I'm gonna call it right now. It is Justin Hammer from Iron Man 2.
It's not Justin Hammer.
If I'm right.
I don't know who it is, to be honest.
Who knows?
In the comics.
Better be in your mouth.
I mean, he's his own character. He started what was his name? I can't remember his name, but he started this. Like, he played on both sides. He'd play on the government side and he'd play on like the vigilante side too. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just all about what he wanted for himself. But anyway, I love that it highlighted the Flag Smashers a little bit and their strength because they were kicking Bucky's ass and Falcon's ass. And this also makes me question, is Captain America Light got the super soldier serum? Cause he stood his own with them.
He did.
But yeah, I love this scene. I just love the action of it. It's hard to describe in a podcast what the action is and how much you like it. Like, yeah, just watch it.
Watch it. It's good.
But it did highlight the Flag Smashers quite a bit.
He was holding his own, I feel like, until he threw his shield away.
Yeah, like, he threw it to Walker. Throw it to Hoskins.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
This is not Mew Mew. This is not going to come back to you. Like, you throw your shield away.
But that was... it comes back sometimes. He was throwing it underhanded to catch somebody.
But also, to Emmy's point, it doesn't come back to you. So he used it to save his friend, knowing that was kind of going to be the last of that shield.
So he dumb.
It also humanizes this guy a little bit as well, that he would rather save his friend. Right, and when they gave each other a thumbs up, I was like, oh, I kind of had a moment there.
But they have that, like, when even when they touch down, you're in this intense battle with these people, mm-hmm. and they touch down, and don't they like high five or like
they do elbow? They do a forearm hit.
Yeah, that's the new handshake because of COVID, and I guess since they're transporting vaccines, they're aware of COVID, so they're doing the elbow thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's 100% why they did it.
100% confirmed.
But it reminded me of frat boys. Like, these are guys, like, there's serious stakes going on, but we're still bros. Like, we're always going to show publicly or show everyone that we're bros. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the bro that walks in the room. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay. There was that scene too where they shotgun a beer.
Yeah, there was that
scene. Yeah, but there's like this bro thing.
There is a very bro-y culture about.
I don't know how to put it in words what I'm trying to say, but like that.
That makes sense though. Like.
And speaking of them shotgunning a beer, Walker's in the car trying. They're all shotgunning a beer at this point, and they're trying to get Falcon and Winter Soldier in the car with them so they can all shotgun beers together. And they're like, "Come on, bro, let's shotgun some beers." And they're like, "Nah, bro, we're gonna keep walking."
And they all say, "Brah."
Yeah, brah.
Like, it's not formed, bro. It's just brah.
It is. And so we see that the Walker attempts to get them in the car, and Bucky is. Very like
almost what are
like,
they doing though? What are they doing again?
Yeah, well,
they're walking,
but Bucky almost reminds me of like, you know, he's like, "You're not my dad." It's like that. He's like, he says, "Just because you carry that shield doesn't mean you're Captain America." So he's very like,
didn't remind me of that.
Oh, no, I'm not trying. I'm just making a joke, honestly. But it was like, "Hey, you know, just because you carry that shield doesn't mean you're Captain America." And he goes, "I've done the work." And he goes, "Have you ever jumped on a grenade?" "Actually, I have." And he talks about using his helmet. Captain America put his whole body on a grenade. Yeah. It's a difference.
He's here. A cocky son of a bitch.
Sure is. And they and then they finally get in the same car with him, and they discuss the Flag Smashers, their goal, what they're doing, and how did you track them? Says Falcon. "Well, we tracked you through Red Wing. You hacked him." "No, not hacking. It's government property, technically. This was a huge red flag for me. This was my first Captain America light red flag. Like, you're justifying tracking someone just because it's government property. Oof. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like that a lot. It was not Captain America, especially in the Winter Soldier. So this was my first time I was like, ooh, I don't like that. You know,
strictly rules. No compassion for people.
Exactly. And if you joined up with us, you know, and then Lamar Hoskins talks about, you know, "I'm Battlestar. John's partner." And I love Bucky's response here. It was very Emmy-esque. "Battlestar, stop the car." That would be Emmy. That would be Emmy line. And Clinton. That would be Emmy and Clinton combined. Like, okay, stop the shit. And he goes, "I get it. I get the attitude. You didn't think the shield would end up here. I get it, Bucky. And I'm not trying to be Steve. I'm not trying to replace Steve. I'm just trying to be the best Captain America I can be. And it would be a lot easier if I had his wingman by my side." And Falcon responds with, "It's always that last line." And that's it. There's this little camaraderie between all of these characters together. But at this point, I was so on Captain America Light's side until this scene, red flag, red flag, red flag. There's a few moments here where I was like, oh, hell no. Him siding with the government, regardless. Him tracking people, regardless. Him saying Captain America's wingman, it would be a lot easier if he was on my side. It just feels more like, I just need this.
He's always
feels political. Feels more political than
it. Well, it's very political, and it's also a call. So it's to me when he says that to Sam, mm-hmm. I feel like it hits racial tones, and I feel like it also hits Sam is always in the shadows.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He's always the sidekick.
Yes, and I maybe didn't think racial tones until we get later in the episode, and I was like, well, that kind of felt the same way earlier. Where this scene was, we'll get there. But yeah, Sam was always the sidekick, and Bucky's done. Like, Bucky's done because he's tired of the politics of everything, and he knows this is bad, and he's just trying to handle it. And y'all are still being these, well, we got to do it this way. But Steve Rogers evolved away from that and was a man for people. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. Period. And that's his best friend.
Exactly. And that's why I had a problem with this, because Cap was always for the right thing, regardless if it was the, you know, whoever he was working with, didn't matter. It was what his conscience and his heart told him was the right thing. I mean, Winter Soldier, he's a part of the strike unit, and he still was like, this is not, no, this is fear. And what I loved about this is that's what I always respected about him. No matter what, there was not a left or a right side with Captain America. It was his. Nope. It was this. This is what I think is right. And that's what I loved about the character.
He was always in the gray areas. There was no black and white with Cap.
And I love that. And with this, I immediately felt like, okay, it's always going to be this side regardless. You know, and
everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks I'm a Cap hater. I just like giving Brandon shit. But his character is a powerful message. And if you haven't listened to Who You Identify With episode we did, there's some really good stuff that some of our listeners talk about with that. And man, Captain America's character and the evolution of him. Mm-hmm. I love Tony Stark too, but Captain America's evolution was amazing. And he is like, when you say golden boy, that almost have a negative connotation, but he is like the true what a golden boy should be. Like, he's a guy who cares for people.
He should be what a golden boy is, not what a golden boy is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. He's the prime example of someone you want to look up to and aspire to be. And this show is really going out of their way to show you that the parallels are not there with John Walker. Mm.
Emmy, this
starting
whole,
here,
this
starting
whole here. Scene here. I know there was a part where he gets off because of Battlestar. He's like, I'm done. It reminded me of you and Clinton both. Like I said, if you guys had a baby and it was Bucky, this would be it. What was your thoughts on this entire scene though?
I don't know why I had such a visceral reaction to Battlestar. But I was watching it and laughed out loud and was like, that is such a stupid name. And I watched Battlestar Galactica. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. I loved that show. Mm-hmm. I have watched Guardians of the Galaxy. We have Mantis and Star-Lord, and I'm okay with those. But for some reason, my line is drawn at Battlestar.
Because it comes out of nowhere. Like, why is he Battlestar?
Yeah, he doesn't explain why. He's like, I'm Battlestar. He's like,
but it's just Battlestar. I'm glad they did it, though, and that they played kind of a make fun of you and Bucky got out of the car at that. But they did that because that's who he is in the comics, mm-hmm. which I appreciated. But they made fun of themselves, too, when they're like, hey, I'm Battlestar. And Bucky's like, all right, stop the car. Like, Bucky is us in that moment. Like, he's the audience. Like,
yes.
This is too much.
Because maybe it's because that was his response to Falcon being like, well, I'm going to need more information than just your name. And he's like, well, what about my silly name?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, ha ha. He's like, yeah. What? No.
It's just, it was a weird, I Battlestar, you know, he's fine. He's fine. And then he said Battlestar. It was like, nope. Oh, the illusion.
Never
is
mind,
gone
Hoskins.
For me.
Never mind.
Okay. Again, I have to say the audacity.
Oh, man, it's $3 now.
Man. The audacity. This whole scene, Captain America Light is just completely tone deaf. He does not understand who he's talking to when he's like talking about just everything. Like, he says we talking about the whole, like the four of them. And he says, well, that didn't go as planned. Well, we didn't plan this. We weren't expecting you to be there. Like,
he's trying to cozy up to them, though. He's trying to get in their good graces.
And he's doing it in the most tone deaf way possible.
Yeah, he don't. Well, he's not picking up on the social cues at all.
No, at all. And it's just, I don't know. He really just rubs me the wrong way. Everything about him rubs me the wrong way. The audacity.
The audacity.
The audacity of that bitch.
Wasn't ready for that last bit. Anything else before we head on to the next scene?
There was, okay, and I talked about Battlestar.
Mm-hmm.
There was a different iteration of Battlestar in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Don't remember anything about it, but it is in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I kind of feel like showing him here really takes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. out of the equation 100%.
Mm. Yeah. Good.
In my opinion.
Good catch there.
Sorry.
No, go for it.
Also, now that there's not a Red Wing, could there be
a real
possibility?
Falcon.
Oh, no. See, I was going to go in a different direction. Torres becomes Red Wing.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, fine.
Torres will maybe become the new Falcon.
He'll be Falcon. Yeah.
But there are some theories out there that could they bring in a real Falcon now, like the comics? In the comics, the whole reason that Falcon didn't just suit up and fly around, he had a power in the comics, which was he could speak to birds. He could telepathically.
Especially Torres was like a bird himself. He was like,
got turned into a bird hybrid.
It's comics, Emmy. It's comics.
I want to read them now because they sound wild.
It gets crazy.
There's some wild animals.
The whole purpose of Falcon could see through like the eyes of the Falcon he was in their head as. So he could spy with birds. They were less suspicious than a drone. I do like how they did it in this, but some people are like, do you think they're going to bring in like a real Falcon?
I don't think so.
If they do, it would be cool as hell, in my opinion. I mean, we have a talking raccoon. Why can't Sam telepathically speak with a Falcon?
Because does he have that power now?
I want him to be the most majestic Falcon you've ever seen in your life.
You mean fabulous.
A fabulous Falcon.
A fabulous Falcon. He's got rhinestones all down his wings.
Welcome.
So really, really inconspicuous.
Coming to Disney Plus.
Hey, guys.
Coming to Disney Plus 2024. The Fabulous Falcon. Hey, guys. Let's do this. No, I was starting to really like Red Wing, where he was almost like an R2-D2, you know.
I think he'll get an updated
one. I agree.
He'll build his own and not be for the government.
So I was honestly kind of digging what they were doing with him. And when he got split in half, I was like, ah. So
I loved it for Bucky, though. That was awesome.
That was a great one-line.
I've been wanting to do that for a while.
Yeah, that was a great one-line right there. Switching gears, guys, we are going to move forward where we see the Flag Smashers. They're served food, coffee, anything for the cause. They call you Robin Hood. Call back to Clinton's words earlier. Every day, more people love you. You'll find refuge wherever you go. They're talking to Carly here. And you took what was, and Carly's checking a text message from an unknown name that you took what was mine. I'm going to find you and kill you. This is an unknown text. We see she's wanted. This is Carly Morgenthau. And kind of similar to the comics with the Flag Smasher Carl, but they've changed it just a little bit. And we see that we can't let the same, and this is her words, we can't let the same assholes put back in power after the blip. We got a taste of what things could be. You know, she's basically, I don't want things to go back to the way they were. Now that the people are blipped back, I don't want them back in power. That's not what we need. One world, one people. And, you know, to Clinton's point, because Clinton said he was sympathizing a little bit, or maybe not sympathizing is probably not the best word, but he was understanding or relating. I don't know.
Empathizing,
I guess, is a better word, with the Flag Smashers. One world, one people. Imagine by John Lennon. Imagine there's one people living life today. And I'm a big John Lennon fan. I'm a big Beatles fan. And I promise I didn't sing that, so I would help your ears out. But it doesn't feel like these people are that bad.
They're going about it maybe the wrong way, but their intentions seem good.
I agree. I don't feel like, you know, it's because when we have borders, we keep people out. When we have borders, we say, no, you don't belong here. We do. And one world, one people, I think, and I'm not trying to get too political here, but it's all of us living life together under one world. I don't know. I think I 100% agree with what Clinton's saying here. Maybe not the best execution, but maybe not the worst thought. So Emmy, I'm going to throw it. Sorry, Clinton. I just want to throw it to Emmy first because Emmy's face, I just got to ask her what her thoughts are. What were you thinking during this scene?
Did the blip only blip assholes? Like, surely there were still assholes in power.
Well, we both got blipped. We both got blipped and Clinton stayed. So yeah, confirmed.
Oh, rude.
I called me and Emmy.
But
an
it's
asshole.
Two and a, it's 3.5 billion people, like we discussed before.
Correct.
So they probably changed the whole way they did things.
Right.
Because out of that, I mean, you've got to talk about like a huge number of people in power were gone for sure. And maybe better people came in place.
But maybe assholes came into place. I mean,
no, they didn't. That's the point. Well, apparently they didn't.
Like, but like if it happened in real life, I'm sure the assholes would win. I know it's not. I know.
But the world might have united together because
3.5 million are gone. Or excuse me, 3.5 billion. Million.
Yeah, so billion the world gone. Might have united more because they all were facing the same problem. It wasn't just this country had this issue, so this country didn't care. Everyone faced the same problem.
Okay, so then what is... I guess I don't completely understand their motivation here.
I think you're getting too hung up on that.
Well, okay, so what? Are they going to kill half of people?
No.
This isn't a vaccine? This is a poison?
Here's what I think. Apparently, people were treated better during... I think their focus is that... Or not their focus, but I'm having a hard time with this. They are pissed off that the people that came back are the only ones getting fair treatment now. And they're letting people that have been here the whole time go by the wayside. So maybe everyone was taken care of after the blip. And now that the blip, the people were reversed, they're overly taking care of the people that came back and forgetting about the people that were here the whole time that are still facing issues. Even though the people are back, look, these people over here are still having these issues. And again, it's getting a little... I think Marvel's purposefully doing some political sleight of hand here. Like, don't forget the people that are still struggling. These people are back and they're facing trauma lives. We saw that with WandaVision. They're having their own trauma, but please don't forget the people that had to live this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
There's still people struggling.
And you made that point and I forgot it. So you might have to remind me of it a few more times. That's okay. All right. I won't get hung
that's
up on
how
that.
That's how I take that, it.
100% makes sense. A lot more sense than anything I was thinking in my head. Okay. So then what is the secret password to enter this little bunker if, like me, you can't whistle?
Okay. Well, obviously Torres is there because we saw the whistle. We know for a fact that Torres is there because of Clinton. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Clinton. I don't know if maybe you can just do what you do, like woo woo. Maybe that's the case.
Back fife and gazette.
that would be the password. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Respect.
Although actually they're in Germany. So maybe that's not the best one. Maybe it should be like pineapple.
Maybe it's the best one because they are in Germany and they're speaking the native. Like, yeah, maybe it's even better.
Could I do the like three times and it get me in?
Oh, I'm sure it would.
Why three times?
I don't know. Because it's not just, they're
one
not like
time,
signaling. They're not like trying three to say someone's hot. They're just, it's a like lady.
Yeah, but if you can't whistle, that doesn't fix the problem. Like whistling three times can't be the password.
You could just
whistle.
Get on your phone on Spotify and play the "Can You Blow My Whistle, Baby" song. They would understand that you can't whistle because you need some.
And then you would get right in. They'd be like, "Ah, yeah," and you'd walk in, and everyone's just like, "Yeah, no."
And then everybody tracking my phone would come and get me.
Mm-hmm. Everyone be like, "Oh God, there's the girl that can't fucking whistle."
Oh God, here she is again.
They'd put you in the corner
because her teeth grew too big.
They grew
from
too
braces.
Big.
It's not what I said.
It's kind of what you said. We switch gears here, obviously, with the sorry. What do you got, Amy?
Okay. So I did translate Quadlingual Ben.
Hey, Ben.
I sent him a video of the scene where he says, I thought it said, be spoken. That is not correct. And Google Translate let me know that. And so I sent a video to Ben. They say Beast Morgan, which means see you tomorrow.
Nice. See you tomorrow. Will they though? Will they?
Learning other languages. Also, I was going to do a joke there where I said something ridiculous instead of see you tomorrow. Obviously, I forgot.
You can
to
leave
do
the
that.
Jokes. You can leave the jokes to me.
Okay.
We do see that we go back to.
You didn't see what I wanted to say about this scene. You just called on Emmy, but that's fine.
It was a quick scene, Clinton. What was your thoughts on this quick scene?
I don't remember now.
All right, we'll move on. So there's Sam.
You know who's really pretty? Like really, really pretty? Carly.
I was going to say that too.
I love her freckles. I love her red hair. And I am not usually a
fan. I love the casting.
Yeah. But she does really well. And she did really well too when they thought she was the hostage. And she like morphed into like evil, I'm going to kick your ass. Oh,
where she goes from like basically the helpless to the evil smile right away.
Yeah. She baited him so hard too. Uh-huh. She like looked and like went back like she was scared.
And Bucky was like, I've got it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You know,
looked away.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't see her as a threat. And then she kicked him into the windshield. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
This scene just to me reiterates what I think they're really trying to make you understand this so-called villain, like what their motive is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what I mean? I like that this scene really nails that in, that they're trying to help people, and there's the underdogs of the world, I guess you would say, the people that have been forgotten from the blip.
Mm-hmm. I still don't see the Flag Smashers as like, you know what I mean? Like,
what I'm saying. They're just trying to nail that in. Like, yeah. People are trying to help this group mm-hmm. get their goals achieved.
And the way that the citizens were involved with helping them, and like, hey, you'll always find refuge somewhere, humanized them quite a bit. And that's where I was like, I don't see these as, I know they're weird, they wear these weird, creepy masks, but at the same time, they're not evil villains. I feel
Kane.
Like
they look like Kane from WWE.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our mayor.
Okay.
That's your mayor, I think.
He's my mayor. Yeah. And he was inducted this week
WWE into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Wall. Yeah.
Correct. Exactly. So I just think I don't know. I feel like there's going to be more. It almost reminds me of the Skrulls. It's quick to say, oh, look at them. They're bad. They're doing that. But no, I feel like I don't get the evil villain vibe at all from this group.
This show so far has not really defined. I think they want you to guess who the villain is. Mm-hmm. So we think it's either Cap, Lot. We think it's the Flag Smashers. And then we're bringing in Zemo now. And it's like, okay, so who's the villain? But when we get to Zemo, I got some thoughts.
Looking forward to that.
If they're not villains, why in the world did they take super soldier serum? And if they didn't take super soldier serum, if it was forced upon them, then I could see a different villain that we haven't seen yet. And it would make them more relatable. Are you talking
about the Flag Smashers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably took it to fight back against this government.
Use their weapons.
Which is exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
An eye for an eye. We switch gears here where Sam and Falcon are speaking, and let's take the shield, Sam. Let's take it for ourselves. Remember what happened the last time we stole it? Sharon was branded an enemy of the state, and Steve and I were on the run for 2 years. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live la vida loca. Thank you, Ricky Martin, for that wonderful track. That will be always my favorite song in the entire world. I'm joking. It's not my favorite. But hey, it could be my top 3 million. So we see Bucky sits.
Screw you. That is a bop.
Yeah, okay. And Bucky sits next to Sam, and there's someone that we should meet. And they go to Baltimore, Maryland. And there's a child here that says, hey, Black Falcon. And is it because I'm black and I'm the Falcon? Well, yeah. All right, I'll call you Black Kid. And there's a laugh here, and it's a pretty poignant. I don't know. I thought this was right on the nose. I really enjoy this quick scene here. We see that we're here to meet Isaiah. They're at a house where there's no trespassing. They end up meeting him after saying a few things to kind of get through the door. And Isaiah says a few things here, but I want to kind of really outlay something that Isaiah said. You think you can wake up one day and decide what you want to be? Well, maybe for you, but it does not work for people like me. And Bucky responds, well, there's more of us out there. I'm not going to talk to you about it anymore. And he shows his super strength here by throwing something into the wall. And he responds with, you know what they did for me for being a hero? They put my ass in jail for 30 years. People running tests, taking my blood, coming into my cell. Even your people weren't done with me. Get out of my house, as he screams. And as Sam and Bucky walk out of this super soldier's pass that we haven't heard of yet.
Walking again.
How can nobody bring him up? I asked you a question. Steve didn't know about him. I didn't tell Steve. So you're telling me there was a black super soldier decades ago that no one knew about? There's a lot to unpack here, guys. I know this was kind of a loaded scene here, but there was a lot of racial undertones here that I thought was pretty brave by Marvel Studios to speak up on. So I'm just going to throw it to you guys. I'm going to throw it to Clinton first, because I know, you know, we've been talking a whole lot about a bunch of different scenes here. Clinton, between the scene with the child, between the scene with Isaiah, what was your thoughts on everything?
First of all, back to the point I made earlier about they always, if there was a black character in the comics, they always put the name black in front of them. And this was almost like a super meta thing with that kid that said Black Falcon.
Exactly.
He's like, no, because Falcon in the comics was the first black character to not have the name, have black put in front of the name. And a lot of it has to do with when these comics were written and what was going on for the time with, you know, different laws and things like that. So it's like the Marvel put black in front. Marvel was very subversive for their time. They were always thinking, not, I won't say always, but they liked to poke the bear of the time, I guess is the best way to say it. Like they loved to bring up these injustices that were happening, but they could do it through comics and get away with it. You know what I'm saying? So this was really cool to me because it not only highlights that in the comics, but it highlights like, no, I'm the Falcon. Like this ain't what, you know what I mean? Yeah. This ain't the focus. So then we get to Isaiah Bradley, which is huge because he was the black Captain America in the comics. And it was a, what was the name of the run? Truth, the Red, White, and, oh my gosh. Why can't I remember? It's bugging me. I'm having to look it up, but it's a limited run they did. It wasn't like,
Red, White, and Black.
Red, White, and Black. Truth. Mm, Red, White, and Black was a series. And it was like how they took these black soldiers and experimented on them and things like that. Isaiah Bradley was the only one that survived. And he was actually Captain America when Cap was on ice. And, but he was, basically like a guinea pig and experimented on often and the trauma he went through. So the fact that Marvel even did this in that time, and I think it's very funny, that this is coming out in a time that we're still facing these types of things. And I'm not going to go too deep into it, but it's a real issue. I mean, this is real issues that we're facing in the real world. And Marvel was brave enough to like bring this to the forefront. But this character went through a lot. He was a surviving person of an experiment that were done on just this race of people for no reason. And then we get his, we get Eli here too, which becomes a patriot. If I'm not mistaken, do you guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it so, Young Patriot?
No, it's just the Young Patriot. Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're introducing to another character. The kid who answers the door, his son is Elijah Bradley, or Eli Bradley, who becomes Patriot, which I think is really cool. It's like a little subtle thing there. He don't talk much, but I think he's going to be part of the Young Avengers. I mean, we keep seeing these young heroes between the twins, We got Kate Bishop coming up. We got Ant-Man's daughter. We got Spider-Man. I mean, we've just got this. Marvel's very smart with what they're doing, but I loved that they brought him in. This was huge and has huge implications. And it was very bold of Marvel, and I like commend them for it.
I agree. What was your thoughts, Amy?
I think that it's really messed up that we had Captain America and Steve Rogers, and he got all this acclaim and was like known and all this recognition. And then we had another Captain America who nobody knew about. And that's messed up. And then they put him in jail for 30 years.
Right. In the comics, it was 17 years, but yeah, they imprisoned him. I forgot to talk about that too, but they imprisoned him. And experiment on him while they're imprisoning. Sorry, Amy.
No, go for it.
Reminded me. So they imprisoned him for 17 years and experiment on him. In this, it's in the show, it's 30 years. And then when he says, "Even your people," to Bucky, he's talking about Hydra.
Yeah.
So he kind of was experimented on, had to work for both sides.
Correct.
And then he also tells Bucky that I ripped half your arm off. So this was, he was a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. So when Bucky was Winter Soldier, he went toe to toe with Isaiah Bradley. Bucky hid it from Cap because of all he went through, because he understands what he went through, because he went through it too.
Protecting him.
But he was a force to be reckoned with. That's why he went for help to him, because he tore half of Bucky's arm and Bucky got away.
Mm-hmm.
This is deep. This scene is very layered.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I would love to see what his outfit was. I hope that we get to see that.
A little prequel kind of, or a little, you know, where we see.
I mean, it would have to be a completely different thing, because if he was wearing anything as ostentatious as Captain America.
Right.
Like originally wore, it would be, I mean, somebody would be like, we saw that and it's a news story. You said, okay, I was talking about jailed him for 30 years. So do we think that Steve Rogers would have also been jailed and experimented on if he had not crashed into the ocean? I mean, because he is a super soldier. He's the first super soldier. I mean, I'm sure that they would have wanted.
Right. I don't.
Some information from
it's,
him.
It's really hard to say, I guess, is the best point, because part of me wants to say no. Because he was the symbol, you know, at that point, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not trying to make an excuse why he wouldn't be. I'm just trying to more rationalize in my head. To me, I guess I would say no, just because he was more of a focal point. Isaiah seemed like more, he was not allowed to be that focal point, and that's why he was allowed.
It's really hush hush.
Exactly. And that's my thoughts, at least, just initially speaking.
Okay. Yeah, I did enjoy this. I have to say, as soon as they walked into his house and I saw the older gentleman, Isaiah, I was like, he's got that super strength. You can see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
You can see it.
Right.
He's strong.
And, you know, we also see that the after they leave and Sam's questioning Bucky and he's getting quite upset with Bucky, and we realize it was never revealed to Steve, and Bucky kind of tried to protect Steve in similar ways of Steve trying to protect Bucky from and Tony from themselves.
Yes. Very good point.
Yeah.
Very parallel.
And then we see the police show up. They ask for Sam's ID. They ask him to calm down. Is this guy bothering you? They talk to Bucky and
or to Sam.
They ask that to Bucky and they say,
but what did I want to know? I'm sorry, Brandon, to interrupt. I want to know, what did you think of that whole scene with Isaiah?
Yeah.
We just explained it, and I want to know what your take was on it.
It was, you guys took all the words out, and I guess that's why I didn't probably interject or try to say anything more. I think you both hit it right on the nail on the head. I really believe it was just, it's because it was in the 50s, right? I think that's when he said he was, and that was I mean, I go back to, maybe I'm being a little bit too deep here, so forgive me, but I think of the civil rights movement in this movement in the 60s,
right.
And I also think about how the world was not probably ready for that to be our super soldier, for that guy to be our Captain America, or that guy to be our symbol, when he very well should have been. And I feel like he was unjustly treated, and it hit deep with me, and how he is living a life in this this home that's not in the best condition, where you see Captain America was, you know, in the best of facilities in upstate New York, and we see this guy's in Baltimore, Maryland, and it's easy for you to change gears, but not for me. You know, it's easy for you to change your course, but not for me, because I'm labeled and I'm stuck where I'm at.
Yep.
I thought it was a lot of undertones. I thought it was really brave of Marvel Studios in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was,
You know, we say that. I said it was brave and bold too.
Maybe it's not.
But it should be normal.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it should
be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is. It's brave and bold because it should be normal, and it's not. And Marvel's like, okay, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was that was my thoughts on everything. And then we obviously see where Sam is, you know, pressuring Bucky to give him information. He's upset. And the police ask for Sam's ID. They ask Sam to calm down. They say to Bucky, is this guy bothering you? And when Bucky goes, oh, come on, man, do you know who this guy is? And they realize it and they say, oh, God, I'm so sorry, Mr. Wilson. I had no idea. I didn't recognize you without your costume. Well, he has a costume. What about those that don't? And this one hit really hard for me because there's not a lot of people that can escape into a football uniform, a baseball uniform, a costume, so to speak. And Sam, immediately they change their tone. Well, because he's the face and he's recognizable. A lot of things that have hit home, especially in the last couple of years, and without throwing too much politics into it. They weren't asking Bucky. They weren't asking Sam. They were asking Bucky, is this guy bothering you? They weren't asking, you know, the questions, and it hit really close to home. Emmy, I'm going to throw this to you because this kind of what we just heard from Isaiah, and then we're seeing Sam being questioned. I know probably all three of us are probably not the best people to speak on this, and I'm not pretending we are, not by a long shot. However, I'm going to throw it to you, Emmy. What was your thoughts on this entire scene with the police kind of pushing certain things?
I will never know what it's like to be a Black man in America, but I'm glad that it's being put on a screen and continuing to be brought up again and again and again. Because something has got to change. As a white person, as white people, that's honestly all I want to say about that, because the people we all need to be listening to is our Black brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. And honestly, like, I want to leave it at that. So instead of us talking about this scene, I want us to listen to the Black people that it's affecting, because as white people, we have nothing to add to this conversation. It's not affecting us. I mean, it is affecting us, but we need to be listening more than we're talking.
Well said. Well said. Switching gears here, where Bucky obviously ends up getting arrested, and because he missed a court mandated therapy session. And he's carted away, and we see that Bucky's ultimately released because John Walker authorized him to be released. He's too valuable of an asset to be hogtied. They've seen him unfinished business, and as a condition of his release, therapy session is in order right now. And Sam, too. And we see a wonderful therapy session take place. So I feel like it's almost with the fight scene, guys. I don't think I'll do justice of this therapy session, but I'm going to just give a quick high-level overview. This is ridiculous. Yes, I agree. Sam and Bucky here. Who wants to go first? They're both agreeing here. If you notice here, they're both agreeing here, which is odd. Like, they're both like at odds, but they completely agree with the therapy. Like, this is stupid. This is stupid. So there's a lot more alike with them than they're giving each other credit for. They think they're on opposite ends, but they really agree on a lot.
And they also agree. This is the second time kind of that they're agreeing, because they agreed that Battlestar is a stupid name and that Captain America Light sucks in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. I completely agree. So they're in this therapy session, and they talk about we're going to do an exercise with couples of what kind of life you want to build together. We do the miracle question. And I love that Sam goes, in my miracle, he would talk less. And he's like, I was going to say the exact same thing. I think it was Bucky or Sam. One of them says it, but they both agree right away. And they end up doing a soul gazing thing as well. They face each other. They get closer and look at each other.
I really envy Sam here.
Stop.
I envy both of them. I would like to sit on both of their legs in between them and just be like, hey boys, this is a throuple now, right?
Wow. If Amy was a therapist, she'd be like, no, I've got to get closer too. This is a three-part soul gazing exercise.
I'm going to gaze into Bucky and Sam's eyes at the same exact time.
And I'd be there with her. So we could just make it like a like a little square,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I agree.
Like Captain America.
Oh, I hate you. I almost you almost got me. I was like, yeah.
And then I'd have to find a way to bring Torres in. I'd be like, if we're having this conversation, I need Torres in here too, because yeah. he's helping Sam.
We need a three-way soul-gazing experience. And they look at each other in the eyes, and there's a staring contest. And his therapist reaches out and says, James, why does Sam aggravate you? And don't say something smart. And Sam, or
childish.
Childish, excuse me. And yeah. and Bucky begins to smile and kind of grin. But then he gets really serious. Why'd you give up that shield? Why are you making such a big deal for something that does not concern you? And Steve believed in you. He trusted you. That shield is everything he stood for, his legacy. So maybe he was wrong about you. But if he was wrong about you, then he was wrong about me.
Listen, I have to say something here.
Mm-hmm.
The second, I'm sorry, Brandon.
No.
I know you were going to go. No, I'm
dude,
so sorry.
Dude, go for it, dude.
When I first watched this episode, of course, it was early because I get up early before work when it comes out to watch them.
Right.
Because I want to watch it more than once. The second time,
so much,
and I'm so half asleep. But
so much discipline.
I wouldn't go that far.
I can't get up early to shower.
So yes, discipline.
Yeah.
But man, when I watched this last night,
this one
and he's and Sam said that, I teared up. I had to get, I got that like.
You said Sam. You're Bucky. Talking about Bucky, right?
Bucky said? Not okay. Sam. Bucky. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When Bucky says that, I got choked up. I was like, it really brings together and brings it to the forefront of what Bucky is dealing with. Mm-hmm. His battle right now is all in his head and what he's done, and he says, if that means he was wrong about me, like that's his whole battle. Sam is over here battling with if he has the audacity to take mm-hmm. on the mantle of Captain America, of Steve, honestly, Steve Rogers, because the government's kind of tainted Captain America at this point. Mm-hmm. But
tainted.
Well, I love how you draw me out of my serious point.
I'm really sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. But it shows, and I think this is why I love Bucky's character so much in this episode. Well, for one, he's a smart ass, and I think it's great.
But for two, he's...
Okay. He's foine.
Don't act like that's not one of your points.
No, it's really not. I need depth. I need to have connection.
Okay.
I can think someone's attractive, but if there's no... I'm a gay man. I think women are beautiful, and... But just
0%. Anyway,
that's a whole other topic. I'm not going to go into it.
Do you have 3 hours? Let's go.
Yeah. But you see his mental health struggle here.
Right.
Like it really brings it up. If you didn't know before, which you should have, because of what he's dealt with already in two episodes and what he's thinking and how he's thinking about telling that guy that he killed his son, and he's just dealing with the trauma. But this really, man, and he raised his voice. Sebastian Stan's acting here was top notch when he came forward and did that. Like it was like so vulnerable because he's been a smart ass and a hardcore guy and has this like wall up this whole episode. But here you get in there a little bit like of his emotions and what he's feeling. And it got me choked up. I was like, man, this is really what this is about.
And I thought this was,
he feels like he's a failure.
With Sebastian Stan's acting too. I feel like I felt like this was almost improv a little bit. But maybe not. I think the line wasn't improv, but the way Sebastian kept talking over Anthony Mackie in this point, it felt raw. It felt real. It didn't feel scripted. And when he breaks at the end, he's like, if he was wrong about you, then he was wrong about me. This hit completely different.
Do you think that Captain America, Steve Rogers' choice to give the shield to Falcon has anything to do with that self-doubt?
I don't think it's as much self-doubt, but I think he probably knows that Bucky's got a lot to deconstruct and work through because of what he's been doing.
Bucky's self-doubt, not Falcon's self-doubt, because he says if he was wrong about you, then he was wrong about me too.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he doubted Buck. I don't think it was Bucky's self-doubt. I think he just knew Bucky had a lot to work through after getting his mind back on track because he can remember everything.
Got you. Okay.
That's my take. That could be wrong, but that's just how I interpret it, that he realizes, because in the comics, Bucky takes on the mantle before Falcon becomes Captain correct. America.
Oh, okay. So while you guys were talking about that, I was thinking, here's a question. Who has more trauma, Bucky or Wanda?
Oh,
oh God. Bucky.
I'm going to say
this. It's the person, it's subjective. It's not, you can't really say someone
that's
else has
that's
more
what
trauma.
I was about to say. I don't think
that's okay.
I was going to say that's the exact same thing I was about to say, Clinton. I don't think saying who has more trauma. No, I don't think
that's okay. That was really rude of me. You're right. Okay. Yeah.
Well, no, from the outside looking into the Marvel character, who do you felt like has been through more?
Who's had a more traumatic life?
It's not a terrible question, but it's still subjective, though.
Regardless, you're right. It's a terrible question, though.
No worries. I just,
you guys want to hear my answer?
You wouldn't do that to a real person, obviously.
Yeah, okay, Clinton and Brandon, who has the more trauma? There we go.
But Bucky's killed a lot of people and can remember every time he's killed.
I was going to make that point. Like that. I mean, I feel like that's
Bucky's was more external. Like he hurt other people. Wanda went through stuff internal. Like Wanda had stuff happen around her that hurt her. Bucky hurt other people. So it's two different types of issues they went through too.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That was a dumb question. Sorry, guys.
No, hey, that's all we're doing. We're learning and growing. That's what we do.
I feel like this was the second time this episode that they had to look into each other's eyes too when they did the soul gazing.
When they did the plane.
When they did the rolling. No. Oh, that too.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
Oh, I was thinking when they rolled down the daisy field and were on top of each other. That tender moment.
Ah, tender moments.
Which also goes to the point that I made, that every single time that the credits rolled for WandaVision, it went into Vision's, I don't remember which one, eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Vision and seeing and looking at things and staring, I feel like that's a running theme. Am I stretching? Absolutely. 100%. I totally am. I feel like there's a lot less to grasp in this show than there was in WandaVision.
Power broker.
So I'm going for it.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. So Sam responds with at the very end, though, because Bucky has this very heartfelt moment and he goes, "You finished? Good, because maybe this is something you'll never understand, but maybe you can accept that what I did was what I thought was right. How about this, Doc?
Which
I'll squash it. We'll go on our separate long vacations and we'll never see each other again." But Sam was very raw and real here, too. He's like, "I did what I thought was right." That's the end.
Which proves Steve Rogers' point. I keep forgetting that I have to say Steve Rogers and not just Captain America Light or not Light. It proves Steve Rogers' point that he was right for the job because he did what he thought was right with the shield.
Exactly. Yeah, well said, Emmy. Well said. And then when, you know, his therapist says, "Bucky," she doesn't say Bucky, but she's like, "I can tell something's wrong. What's going on? What was rule number two again? Don't hurt anyone. Goodbye, Doc." And they leave the facility. They leave this little therapy session, and John Walker's waiting outside. And he basically explains, "If we divide ourselves, we don't stand a chance. Targeting civilians, we're going to target civilians going to place that are helping out these flag smashers." This was another second red flag for me. He's targeting civilians that are helping out the flag smashers. He's not targeting the flag smashers. He's targeting civilians.
I didn't even catch that.
That was a red flag for me. I'm like, God bless. I don't care for this. And it's imperative that we find them and stop them. "We're more flexible. We're free agents," says Sam. "It wouldn't make sense to work with you." Word of advice then, and this is another third red flag from John Walker, "Stay the hell out of my way."
I think you mean 103rd red flag. He's been just throwing red flags.
I've got three. Left and right. I've got three. If the first half of this episode, I was like, okay, John Walker. And the last half, I'm like, oh, hell no. So I definitely turned by the end of this episode.
With all the flags he's throwing, he should be an air traffic controller.
He should be, or a referee in the NFL. One of the two.
Or a color guard.
Oh, man. That's good stuff, guys. So, yeah. Really, really interesting stuff.
Well, this is... Go ahead, Amy.
No. I've talked a lot.
Go ahead.
When he asks for what was rule number two, and she says, don't hurt anyone, is he referring to her hurting their relationship by kind of bringing up that shit?
Or he's going after the people that have done this stuff.
Mm-hmm. The people who have, so who described the flag smashers. Is it the flag smashers?
Okay. To them, it's the flag smashers.
Okay. Not anybody who's left over from Hydra.
No,
it's the flag smashers. Okay. Gotcha. Go ahead with your point.
Oh, I just think the combo outside is, this is the turn that the audience should know that this guy is not good and that they're going to butt heads. Mm-hmm.
And we see this.
I'm sorry.
Oh, what?
When they talk about him having rules and authorizations and stuff like that, Punch Face makes a punch face where he's like, I don't like rules. And you guys mentioned earlier where he's like very like, but his face or his facial expression, because his face just makes me want to punch him. His facial expression is like, screw those rules. I'm not like,
and there's I don't think we touched base on this, but at the very beginning too, when we're introduced to John Walker, great point, Emmy, where he goes, John, you can't just punch your way out of things now. Like that was his buddy that said that. That was Battlestar that said that to him. So to bring that full circle, Emmy, we saw that at the very beginning, and we're seeing it at the end here. He's got kind of almost a brute force strength that he's done. Instead of being tactical and listening, he's just kind of fought his way out. That doesn't seem like it's a Captain America thing to me. So good stuff there. So we see that obviously we go back to Bratislava. We go to Bratislava for the first time. They found them. They found the flag smashers. They grab everything. They board up the plane. And we see this one kind of individual who takes kind of a lead here. There's vehicles, dark vehicles. We don't know who these people are. One world, one people. He puts on a mask. He pushes over a power pole. He gets shot. As the plane takes off, he sacrifices himself, and it's a really kind of, I'm kind of still feeling like they don't seem like the bad guys here.
My only pet peeve in the whole episode is right here.
Really? Okay. What are you thinking, Clinton?
Push the pole over and go the other way. You didn't have to run towards them.
Yeah, I 100%. Like, you are a super powered person. You can run faster than these idiots. Go for it.
But it shows the sacrifice they're willing to make for their cause too, which was way more illustrated. I know they could have.
It shows their IQ level.
I know that they could have done something different, but it also shows what they're willing to sacrifice for this mission, which shows that it's almost like, oh man, you know, they really deeply care about what they're doing. I think where it hurts the IQ level, it really progresses the narrative.
This is not the government that's coming after them.
That's the power brokers, men.
The power brokers.
That's what she said.
Mephisto. Yep. Mephisto confirmed.
Which is, this is almost confirming that the text she got was from the power brokers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because they did come to kill. They want those vaccines or whatever they're transporting real bad.
Mm-hmm. Real bad.
Yeah.
Can I make the point real quick?
Yeah.
That masks are creepy.
Masks are saving lives, Emmy.
Okay. I'm talking about masks that cover the eyes.
Like hockey masks.
So masks that show the eyeballs underneath of them are exponentially creepier. This mask was so creepy because you could see his eyes, like Batman's mask. And
I knew you was gonna say Batman.
He does the
eyeshadow inside.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which, oh, speaking of, bit of a tangent. So I'm dog sitting right now at a friend's house, and they have HBO Max. And so I've taken advantage of it, and I've tried to watch the Justice League. And I say tried.
Oh, you fell asleep.
How long do you think I lasted in the Justice League?
20 minutes.
15 minutes.
Okay. I did a little bit better. I got to 45 minutes last night. Today, I tried again in the middle of the day. And I got to an hour and 23 minutes.
And you slept. You fell asleep.
Fell asleep. I woke up like pretty quickly after, and I was like, obviously, this is not good.
They did a study. IGN did this. IGN.com. They said 10% of the new Zack Snyder's Justice League was in slow
motion. Slow-mo.
10%. 10% of a four-hour movie is a long-ass time. That's 24 minutes.
He's who did 300, right?
Yes, it is. 24 damn minutes in slow motion? That's a long time to watch people in slow damn motion.
Listen, I've heard mixed things. I'm
you haven't watched it yet? You haven't
watched it? Not yet, but I've heard it's not bad.
I've watched it
comparatively.
I will watch it. Okay, here's the thing. I've watched it in full. Anything's better than the original Justice League.
When you start
the bar very low, it's kind of like you can only go up. I didn't think it was a bad 4 hours spent, but I will not say, oh my gosh, go out and watch the Zack Snyder's cut now. You got to see this. I would say it's good. I would even say it's all right. It's good. But I'm not going to be like, dude, have you seen this? I'm not going to do that. No. Guardians of the Galaxy, I would be like that. The Avengers Infinity War, I would be like, you got
to
see this.
Oh, you have to.
Zack Snyder's Justice League, I'm like, oh, if you got 4 hours laying around, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
I feel like it's not even 4 hours. Like, I had to rewind a little bit because I fell asleep before it ended. And like, it's just, it has taken me like 3 or 4 days to try and get through the whole thing. Mm. And I haven't yet. It's been a 72-hour process.
We're going to finish here, guys. We see that, Sam, I know what we have to do when Isaiah... Oh, excuse me. This is Buggy. I know what we have to do. When Isaiah said, my people, he meant Hydra. Walker does
and
not...
And they're walking again.
Yeah, walk. And this guy's name is Walker. Walker does not have any leads. He knows all of Hydra's secrets. Okay, then. We're going to go see Zemo, and we see this long cut of a heavily guarded solitary confinement facility over this opera. I don't know if you guys have it written down. I don't. But it's this intense moment, and we see Zemo raise his head, and the credits roll. Similar to where we saw John Walker to end it, now we see Zemo ending episode 2. We haven't seen Zemo, obviously, since Civil War, so this is going to be really interesting. I'm already,
and I ain't seen a Zima in 15 years.
But I am not. I don't know what is coming on with episode 3. I'm looking forward to episode 3. So, guys, here's the episode. It's all wrapped up. We're going to see Zemo. I'm assuming in episode 3. I'm sure we will. So, guys, here we are.
Let's talk about this scene for a second.
Yeah, what you got?
So, one thing. They're walking again.
You said
that. They love to do the. Let's walk beside each other down the road dialogue with
and
these
I
two.
Will walk 5,000.
Is Falcon ever on the left? Because that would be a really good
callback. Someone check that out and let us know. That sounds wonderful.
That's clever. Maybe they're doing it for that. I could be wrong.
Oh, Emmy, please. Like, okay, sorry. Anyone on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, let us know.
I should have looked at that, but when you said it, sprung into my head.
Mm-hmm. I wish they wouldn't have said Zemo at the end. I wish it would have just, we've got to see this guy. He's been, you know, he knows Hydra better than anybody.
And just
and then cut and then music and then show him. But
when that would have hit
said
harder.
It and then it does like goes into this. I'm like, we're going to see Zemo.
Could not agree more with you, Clinton. That would have been a much more
impactful. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the number on Zemo's cell when it shows it is the same number of Princess Leia's where she was confined in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Star Wars. Yep. Another reference coming back.
Reference to Star Wars. But so, I think it's trying to set up that you think Zemo's the villain. But if you remember Zemo, he hates superpowered individuals. So I think he will form an alliance with these guys, like your enemy is my enemy, even though we're enemies kind of thing. And he's going to form an alliance with Bucky and Sam and try to help them at first and then not later. But I think they're trying to, this is where it's a mixed villain thing again, because I don't think they want you to think he's the villain right now, but I think he's going to help them at first.
Sign me up.
Yeah. I think, help him at first and then turn on him and try to escape.
Yep.
And then we're going to get the mask from the comics.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait.
And I saw someone say something online on a forum or something that was it doesn't matter where I saw it, but some think that the mask, even though it looks like the one in the comics, that he's wearing it to remind people of Thanos.
I've heard that. The purple and the
purple
lines.
And the rivets.
Oh,
yeah. Yep, I agree.
Good point. Oh,
that wasn't me. That's all Twitter, man. Yeah, I saw that too.
Dang. Reddit, Twitter, Instagram. Y'all be out there doing the real work.
Yep.
You're the real heroes.
You are.
The music reminded me of like a Hannibal Lecter scene.
Ooh, I could see that. I could see
like
that.
Where, yeah, it's like a really like sinister, like he's making the liver and the fava beans and it's playing in the background. I don't know. Is Zemo a cannibal?
Is he a cannibal? We will see.
We'll see.
My money's on yes.
I need you to right now. Quick, I'm not going to do it. I need you to merge Hannibal Lecter and Baron Zemo's names. First and last.
Hanimo.
No. So it'd be
Hanimo.
Bannable. Limo.
You just said Bannable, you weren't
going to
do it.
Bannable Limo.
You said you weren't going to do it, and you just did it.
Yeah.
Well, y'all were trying to merge the whole names. I mean, merge their first names together and merge their last
names. I love how Clinton
together.
Has zero I faith think, in us right I away. He's like, you were doing it wrong, so I had to correct you.
I think Hanimo is
I like Hanimo. Funnier,
a little bit catchier.
I'm going to say Hanimo as well. That's a
y'all
double.
Are lazy. Lazy.
Hanimo confirmed. Wait. What was the name of... Finding Nemo too. What was it? Or is it just Finding Dory? Oh, lame. Well, then it's not going to work. Hanimo. Finding Hanimo. That's going to be the new Disney Plus series. It's going to be wonderful.
I don't even know where you got that.
Hanimo Nemo. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. That's where my brain okay. operates.
I know that we are wrapping up.
We are wrapping up.
But I want to play a fan favorite game.
Oh, God.
We got 5 minutes.
What is it going to be?
F, Mary, Kill. I'm assuming it's F, Mary, Kill.
F, Mary, Kill. This is going to be a hard one. Anthony Mackie.
Depends on who you put on the board, honey.
Okay. Well, and I said Anthony Mackie. I shouldn't say that. I should say Sam Wilson, Bucky Barnes, Torres.
Oh, Clinton Ooh, looks so conflicted. Oh, you guys can't see his facial expression, but God, I've never seen Clinton look so mortified to make a decision in all his life. Okay, I'm going to go first. Emmy, please go second. Clinton, I'm saving the best for last because you look
Jesus Christ, I can't do this.
Please, I just got to hear this.
I know, I still don't know my answer. All right, I've thought about this for days.
F, Mary, Kill, guys. this is Sam, Bucky, and Torres. Kill, I'm going to say Torres. Don't care. I'm going to say Mary. I'm going to say Mary. Sam seems like a good guy. He thinks very things through, and he seems very. He seems like he thinks things through. So I'm going to say F Bucky. So F Bucky, Mary, Sam, Kill Torres. That's me. Emmy, what do you have?
Oh God, this is tough.
Okay. Oh no.
You guys.
I think I'm going to say F. Torres.
Okay.
He's fine. Girl. And I'm gonna marry Sam.
Oh, you're gonna kill Bucky.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm so Clinton, sorry.
He'll just get brought back.
Clinton, finish this off, man. What do you got, man?
I can't.
No,
I
can't you know this. That's the name of the game. To. You have to.
You have to.
Don't I you can't. Dare. Don't you dare.
Can I be not monogamous and marry two of them?
No, you have.
If you
to.
Do, if you do that, no. you can't f any of them.
No,
oh, that's rude.
Oh, you have to kill one and marry two. No, you have. Yeah. It's called F Mary Kill, not Mary Mary Kill.
I don't kill any of them. They're
I don't care. F Mary Kill.
Clinton. And I like all their personalities.
Clinton, the game is F, Mary, Kill. Do it.
Okay. I think this is the first one that we're going to be completely different on.
Oh, I know. Shh. Let's go ahead.
I'm going to... Which one do you want me to go with
Just
first?
Go with it. Just go with it. Do whatever.
Just go.
Which one do you want me to go
Clinton.
With
F, Mary, Kill. It's That's called F, Mary, Kill. Kill.
It's so actually F, called Mary, Fuck, Kill. Mary, Kill.
Clinton, F, Mary,
we
Kill.
We don't want to be that explicit, sir.
Okay.
F, Mary, Kill.
I'm going to F Torres.
Oh, so there could be agreements okay. here.
I could not. This is tough.
Oh, is there going to be a three different ways? Clinton, please. I'm dying.
I'm going to marry Bucky.
Oh!
Because we have the same sense of humor, and I feel like we just have a good time living together and living life.
We all three were different.
And Sam's a little too cat. God, he's so pretty too.
So pretty.
You already said
God,
it.
All of them. I know.
You already said it.
Well, Sam and I would clash though with our personality. Oh, he's too calculated.
This is the first time we all three were different.
F. Torres, marry Bucky,
and kill Sam. Wow, guys. Well, we're going to get this. That was crazy. What a note to end on. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for our Falcon and Winter Soldier episode 2 review. We really appreciate you listening to us and to stay in tune with us, because this has been an absolute blast. I've had so much fun reviewing this with Clinton and Emmy. I cannot wait to review more of this with you guys. So this is going to be fun. We got 2 episodes down, 4 episodes to go. So this is going to be a lot of fun. Emmy, Clinton, before we head on out, anything you got left to say before we close out?
I have an end credits name.
Okay. What you got?
We have our first assistant editor, Caroline Wang.
Thanks, Caroline Wang, or like we like to call you, Carol Wang. We appreciate you.
Yeah, because we're friends.
Kang. Oh, there it is. Confirm. Kang, the Conqueror, Kang is right here.
Yep.
All right, guys. Emmy, Clinton, we're about to hit that button. Anything you got else before we head on out of here?
Knock if you Bucky.
The cheek, the nerve, the gall, the audacity, and the gumption.